Father, we just praise your name. Here this morning, we just worship you, knowing that you are enough for us, knowing that you are worthy of all the praise we can give you this morning. We pray, God, that you help us to focus on you. Help us to live our lives according to your will, according to your glory. And I pray that this morning we can just express our devotion to you. That is from our heart's desires rooted deep. We thank you, God, and we love you, and we praise you. In your name, amen. You guys amen. May be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. You know, I was just thinking about the words, the power in the cross. How true is that for us? That we can know that and we can trust that if we follow Jesus. Just quite simple, but the power is in the cross, not in what we do, not in what we own, not in what we say, but in who we trust. You know, this week has been an amazing week as we've had a week of prayer in our church. A time for us as a community to come to our Saviour and pray for our community, pray for each other, uplift his name and honour him. And as I was sitting there this morning, just reflecting, I was reminded of Psalm 21. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. So Psalm 21 is David has been, before Psalm 21, David is, King David has been praying. And a bit like us, I guess, requesting things to his God. And then Psalm 21 says, "The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. Rejoices in your strength." Isn't that powerful to know that we can rejoice in his strength? "How great is his joy in the victories you give him." So the joys that come from the victories of prayer that God answers and through nothing else. "You granted him his heart's desires and have not withheld the requests of his lips." So when we come to God in prayer like we have all week, we must believe that God will honour those. As we've lifted our voices as a community through our meeting here at the church through the night, there goes a piece of paper, or whether we've been at home receiving the text messages or wherever it may have been, you know, we've been able as a community to lift up our voices to our God and Creator, just like King David did. And God answered King David's requests, and we've got to believe that he will answer our requests. And as this week, we haven't finished yet. We're here together as a community to come together to bring our services, our people together. And we're going to hear from Cameron very shortly. But before that, I'm going to hand over, we're going to have the headlines in a minute, but I'm going to hand over to Scotty. Do you want to come on out? And if we can have the participants come out, Jody and Chris Burgess Jr. Where's Chris Burgess Jr.? There he is. He's hiding.
Yeah, as Lindsay said, we have spent the week praying for you, for our church community, for our ministries. We prayed for the Chinese church as well, because you are a part of our community. And what a blessing it has been to come before the Lord. I've been particularly blessed just to see people across generations and different services praying together in one unified voice. Man, that has been so encouraging. And we are really believing that the Lord is going to move and answer our prayers. Let me, just before these guys share, let me read you something in Acts. So Peter and John have just been taken before the Sanhedrin, and they're being questioned and they're being persecuted. And then they let go because the Sanhedrin fears the people. And then it says, they came back to the rest of the believers and they prayed together. Let's pick up. They said from verse 30, chapter 4, "Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." This is their prayer. And then after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and one in mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. All of that was after they prayed and the place was shaken. And our prayer is that this place will be shaken and the Lord will move profoundly amongst us. And we would embody the gospel as a community in Jesus' name. That has been our prayer. Let us hear from these guys who participated in the prayer.
I got one. Morning, church. Yeah, just definitely an amen to that. Completely agree. But yeah, this week has just been a phenomenal week with a lot of you guys. I saw I was there three of the five nights, and I can say that the Holy Spirit was moving each and one of those nights, and that all of us not only were able to pray for one another and our wider community, we're able to pray for the things that are greater, the things that, and give glory to God. That's the main thing, that we're here together through worship, through prayer. We can come in one body and pray, and that just completely is amazing. I absolutely love that. And something I found really awesome as well, that every night I was there, that good old verse, Matthew 18:20, came up every time, which it says, "Again, truly I tell you, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them." And that is just such an awesome verse, knowing that if we come together as a church in prayer, in reverence to our Heavenly Father, He's sitting there right next to us, ready to go, "What do you want? I'm here. Ask." So God is a good God, and I just strongly encourage everyone to keep praying, that let this not be just a week and it's gone, but make it a daily routine. Our connect groups, grab what we've done this week and make it a habit, because it's powerful and amazing, and we all get closer to God in the process. So I guess that's me. Yeah.
Morning, everyone. I don't know all of you, so I'm Jody. I signed up for both, for the text messages and the corporate meeting. I found the text messages awesome because it gave me prayer prompts, like to start me off with something, but then let the Holy Spirit guide me to the rest. That structure in my prayer life was just what I'd been looking for. The corporate prayer meeting, wow. I get quite nervous when I'm in front of people. and I get quite nervous praying in front of people. But the Holy Spirit, the power that came upon that group was just, it was phenomenal. Like, you could really feel God there. It was the most amazing experience. Jenny had bought some stones that God had prompted her to bring. And we each took a stone. And I was sitting there looking at the stones thinking, "Come on, God, help me out. I don't just want to be the one that says all I see is stones." But everyone got something different, a different message. And it was amazing. So if you get the opportunity to do it next time, I highly recommend it. It's fantastic.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So there will be a next time. We as a church community are wanting to commit to a week of prayer twice a year. And we are going to get on it, come before the Lord as we move forward together as a church on our knees. And we would ask that you would join us next time in the corporate prayer and in the praying throughout the day. And let's just see God move and lives transformed and our church grow. Not in transfer growth, but through conversions of people getting to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So keep posted. We'll let you know when the next one is. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Scotty. We're going to have the headlines. And while we have the headlines, Kids Church is on. And so while the headlines are on, if the parents would like to take their children out to creche and kids' church, this would be the opportunity to do that. yo, we got stuck. It's on a loop. We were going to be here forever. But one day we will be. Won't that be awesome? When I get to heaven and I see Bob, okay, g'day Bob, how's soccer going? No. And I see Ken, and I get to see Victoria, I get to see all the children, I get to see Sue Betts, I get to see you all. It'll be fantastic. And we'll be able to glorify God together. Won't that be awesome? And we'll be perfect. We'll be perfect. So I'm going to invite Nicole to come up and give us the Bible reading for Ken. And then we'll hand over to Ken.
Good morning. We've got a bit of a theme happening here. I'm going to be reading from John 17, and it's about Jesus praying. So, you know, I think we've been given a message that prayer is essential. So if you'd like to turn with me to John 17, reading from the NIV version. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them, within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
So I've got a question that's always bothered me. The Bible says there's one God, but in other parts of the Bible, God is three: Father, Son, and Spirit. How can it be both?
Yeah, this is a question that has mystified people for thousands of years. And while we can't fully explain it, I think we can better understand what it is that we can't fully understand.
What do you mean?
Well, think of it this way. Here's a two-dimensional plane. And then, here's an object with three dimensions that's going to pass through the 2D plane.
Okay, right. From this perspective, the 3D object's above and below the plane.
So now it makes sense. But imagine you were a 2D person stuck on the 2D plane. What would you see?
I don't know. What would I see?
Well, it would look like this.
Oh, yeah, okay. From this perspective, it looks impossible. It's one object, and then two objects, and then three.
But in reality, they're all one, just not in a way you're capable of understanding. Now, let's take this whole thing as a visual analogy for how we experience God. The claim in the Bible is that God is transcendent, a divine being through whom we live and move and have our being. Or, as God says, I am.
Okay, but I live here in this universe, so when God appears, it will make sense in some ways, but in other ways, it will break my categories.
Exactly. This happens all the time when people encounter the God of the Bible. So let's look first at how this happens in the Hebrew Scriptures. Throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, God appears in complicated ways that don't quite fit our categories. One common way this happens is with God's attributes.
So an attribute is a way to describe what something is like. For example, a soccer ball is round.
Right.
Or God is wise.
Yeah, great. Let's take God's wisdom. So the book of Proverbs says that God created the world by his wisdom. But then there are also poems in the book of Proverbs that describe God's wisdom as a person, a co-worker through whom God architected the universe.
So God's attribute becomes a separate character?
Yeah. This also happens with God's glory, which sometimes appears as a human figure on a throne that's engulfed in fire. Or take God's word, which he can speak to people, but sometimes his word appears like a person.
Wait, so God's attributes have become new little gods?
No. The biblical authors believe there's only one all-powerful God.
But they're comfortable talking about them as different characters.
Yeah, this is part of the way that the biblical authors portray the one God's complex identity. They're God's attributes, and also distinct from God.
Distinct from God, and also God.
Yes. Once we learn to spot that way of talking about God's identity, you begin to see it all over the scriptures. In fact, you find it in the first sentences of the Bible that mention the Spirit of God. So the opening line of the Bible is pretty familiar.
In the beginning, God created.
But then keep reading. Who is it that we see within creation hovering over the waters?
The Spirit of God.
Yeah, so the Spirit refers to God's personal presence and energy that we can interact with here within creation.
And so the Bible can refer to God's Spirit as distinct from God.
Distinct from God, and also God. It's God's Spirit. And while this sounds strange from our point of view, this complexity is what the biblical authors are trying to get us to see. So we've looked at God's attributes and God's Spirit. Now let's make our last stop exploring God's complex identity in the Hebrew Scriptures with a character called the Son of Man. So in the Bible, there's only one God that people are to worship, which makes this story in the book of Daniel really surprising. Daniel has a dream about a human figure called the Son of Man, which means a member of humanity. And Daniel dreams about this human getting elevated on a cloud, up and then higher up.
Up into God's space.
Yes, and then this human sits at the right hand of God's heavenly throne, and all humanity worships this human alongside God.
A human where I expect to see God.
Yeah, this human is a part of God's identity. This vision is about the climactic hope of the whole biblical story. God and humanity become one so they can rule the world together as one.
So the Son of Man is distinct from God and also God.
Exactly. So think back over everything we've looked at. In the Hebrew Scriptures, God's identity is complex. And so when Jesus' followers encountered God as the Father, Son, and the Spirit, they already had categories for how these could all be the one God of the Bible.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, so in the New Testament, we're introduced to Jesus of Nazareth. And he's human, but way more. His favorite title to call himself was the Son of Man.
The figure in Daniel's vision.
And the claim is that he is this complex God become human to unite other humans with God.
Okay, so the Gospels portray Jesus as fully human.
And also as Yahweh, the God of Israel. Jesus went around saying and doing things that only Yahweh can do, like forgiving people's sins or calming the chaotic waters.
So they're saying Jesus is a human, distinct from God, and also God.
Yeah, and that might sound crazy unless you've been reading the Hebrew Scriptures, which prepared you for it. And then check this out. Jesus' first followers, the apostles, talked about his identity using the language of God's attributes. They called Jesus the glory of God, or the Apostle Paul called Jesus the wisdom of God. Or John opens his gospel calling Jesus the Word of God through whom the world was created. And then he says, the Word was with God and was God.
Okay, I get what they're doing, and it hurts my brain.
Totally. And if you want to spin your brain even more, consider this. Jesus, who's portrayed as God become human, would talk to God as a distinct person. And when he did, he called him Father. When Jesus talked about God, he wasn't referring to an abstract force or energy. He was talking about a personal being that you can relate to.
There's a lot of personal images of God in the Bible. Ruler, creator, judge.
But Jesus consistently referred to God as my Father. Jesus experienced God as a source of infinite love. He said, the Father has loved me since before the creation of the world. Apparently, Jesus knew the Father as an eternally others-centered, life-giving being.
Right, like in the story about Jesus' baptism, when the Father says from heaven, this is my Son whom I love.
And then keep reading. In that story, the person who brings that message of love from the Father to the Son is the Spirit of God.
So we've talked about God's Spirit. Here within creation, it's through the Spirit that we interact with the divine.
Yeah, and the same was true for Jesus. Through the Spirit, he experienced the Father's love. But it didn't stop there. Jesus promised that through him, the Spirit would go out and share the Father's love with all humanity and with all creation.
So it can look like these are three distinct gods, but in some way that transcends my view of reality, they're also one.
Right. This is what later followers of Jesus called the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are the one God of the Bible.
I could see how they got there.
But this isn't just a philosophy puzzle. To describe God as a triunity is to claim that the universe is held together by an eternal community of love.
Which is something that I can't really understand.
But the God of the Bible isn't a being that you understand. The point is to know and be known by this God so that we can participate in his love.
Good morning, everybody. How about that? That was pretty good, hey? Anyone feel like they could identify with what John said when he said his brain was hurting? Yeah, pretty amazing. Firstly, I just want to say thanks to Nicole, who read out that prayer for us. It's she did it on last-minute notice, and it is a tricky one. A lot of I in him and him in me, and then a lot of wrapping your tongue around that can be a little tricky, and wrapping your head around that, it's tricky too, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want to debrief with you about that, that video that we just watched, and then give you a bit of an idea about where we're going to go from here. So that video I wanted to start with because the part of the prayer that we're going to focus on relies really heavily on an understanding of, the Trinity. And I've heard the Trinity explained in many ways. Hand up if you've heard the Trinity explained as an egg. Hand up if you've heard the Trinity explained using a different metaphor. Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, the egg is kind of like the one that really stands out in my mind. There you go. Okay, interesting. Yeah, people will say the Trinity is like an egg. There's the yolk, the white, and the shell. And there are three parts of the same thing. And the Trinity can be hard to wrap our heads around. And I really love that explanation because that part where it says that there's a 2D plane with a 3D object and we're like a 2D person trying to understand a 3D object, and that whilst we get a glimpse and a bit of an understanding, it is realistically beyond our comprehension. And I think that that's a really good a good way to put it, that we will understand it but ultimately not understand it. Next, the other thing that I liked about that video was that it points out how the Hebrew scriptures set the Israelites up for an understanding of that, with Daniel's vision of the Son of Man being being God but also being here with us, was a really interesting, I think, something that they got to start with, which set them up for an understanding of how it would all work. So we're going to be focusing on this section of John. It's right at the end. And I suppose speaking of the Bible Project, oh, that's in That's in square now, not in landscape. This is a poster created by the Bobble Project, which is the team that put that animation together. If you haven't seen their videos, I encourage you, go down that deep rabbit hole of YouTube and watch their videos. By the end, your brain will probably be melting and trying to wrap everything, all of that information into your brain. But this here is a poster, which it's hard to see everything that's going on in there, but there is an animated video that goes with this where they draw there's actually two videos for this, where they draw all of this out, this poster out. But I'm just going to use it just to kind of explain where we're at. So right here in chapter 11 and 12, Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. And in doing so, he returns back close to Jerusalem, and his disciples are concerned because he's threatened of being stoned. They're convinced he'll kill him, the Pharisees will kill him. And the way they kind of interpret this here is they point out that Jesus really, he lays his life down for his friend in doing this. By going back to save and raise Lazarus from the dead, he really is going back too close to Jerusalem where he will be killed, and Jesus is aware. And right after that, the Pharisees go, that's it, we're sick of this guy, he's getting too many followers, it's time for him to be killed. And Jesus, in this section here, from chapter 13 through to 17, those chapters have a lot of recurring themes, which is why they've been blocked together. And right at the end, in chapter 17, we get this whole prayer from Jesus. And there's the washing of the feet of the disciples. It's the Passover. It's that the night before we go into Jesus' arrest, his death and his resurrection, which is this next section. So that just kind of gives you a bit of a context, I suppose, for where we're at. This is the passage that I'm going to focus on. And I want to, I suppose, speak into my goal for this. My goal for going through this section of the sermon is for us to see ourselves not as a group of individuals, but as an us. I'm going to use that keyword us. I think my goal is for us to have some sort of response. And I'm into bees. I don't know how many of you know that. I apologize if I have spoken your ears. You know, I've spoken your ear off. I am into bees, and I think about it from this perspective that the bees are kind of all individuals, but they're all part of the hive, and we're kind of like that. But I also want us to have a response, and I heard this conversation this week on a podcast, really interesting. They were discussing the difference between having a feeling that you must have action after reading the Bible in comparison to a feeling that you must have a response. And if you read the Bible as if everything you read is some sort of manual, and I'm guilty of this, if I read the Bible as if everything I'm reading is some sort of manual that's going to help me to have some sort of action or do something, or it's for me in order to lead a different life, then you will probably come unstuck because there are large sections of the Bible that are narrative, poetry, and you will find that it's really challenging if you are looking at every part of the Bible as if it's some sort of manual for action. And that was just a really interesting part of this discussion I was listening to. And then they went down this other road of saying instead that it is better to think of the Bible as something that elicits a response. And that might not be an action. But I think for us, this is something we have to decide. And yes, there is a point where it's individual, but I think there's something we have to think about it as an us. And just to give you an illustration, I watched a really interesting documentary this week, which was The Year the World Changed, The Year the Earth Changed. It's narrated by David Attenborough, so you know it's good, right? And it's about what happened in the world in nature during COVID, during lockdown. And it's truly fascinating. The reprieve that that nature got from human presence, the stuff they were able to show, there were a lot of hypotheses about what human impact had on certain species, but then to see us removed and then see what actually happens, and then the quick turnaround is really remarkable as well. Like smog, like the photos they could show of smog disappearing from cities and stuff. One of the ones that really got me was. There was a ranch a resort in South Africa, and there was a leopard that had just basically claimed the resort for himself. It was really cool, really cool. And he's just like walking down, and you can tell there's this point where there probably would have been like tables and chairs set out for people to have like breakfast and see out over the Sahara or wherever, I'm not sure where they were. And he's just kind of like lying in the middle of the stone there, like, this is where I go. And there's these animals around, and he can, like, the thing that was big about this was that he was starting to be more active during the day, and leopards are typically active during the night. They're quite nocturnal. Anyway, why do I tell you this? It's because this elicited in me a response. I was quite emotional about that and many other things. It brought a tear to my eye. I'm quite passionate about the nature and that sort of stuff. So it brings about in me a response. Does it bring about in me an action? Maybe not necessarily. There may be something that I go forth with, but I think that it brings forth some sort of response. So let's move from there. So we're going to start a walkthrough of this prayer, and this prayer is about unity, and that's what this final phase of this the church is series is we're going to feature. And the fact that we've got a combined service is so nice. The fact that it's a prayer and we've just had a week of combined prayer, I think that this is quite fortuitous, if you will. Huh. So Jesus prays for all believers. Let's roll through this. Okay, I'm going to read out kind of verses. And I'm going to give you a little bit of knowledge about some of these things, and I'll try and be quick because I know everyone loves a quick sermon. So here we go. My prayer is not for them alone. Now, I wanted the whole prayer read out so that we would understand the context, because Jesus prayed for himself, then he prayed for his believers. He calls them the ones God gave to him. And he's referring to either just the 12 or the wider disciples at the time, but that's distinct from who he's praying for now, which is those who will come afterwards. So my prayer is not for them alone, the disciples at the time. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. How nice is that? Jesus is praying for you and me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you in me and I am in you, just as you are in me and I am in you. That's a recurring theme that happens right throughout chapters 13 through 17, but actually earlier on in John, I think it's the last time that this recurring theme that Jesus says, I in you and you in me, and it's this continual thing of, I am the Son of God, I am the Son of Man, and this unity between Christ and God. And this is a big part of this prayer, that we would understand that Christ is the Messiah sent by God, the Son of Man prophesied. The interesting thing is that the Father is distinct. We saw that in that video. We know that the Father speaks to Christ, to the disciples, and we know that that Jesus prays to the Father. We know that they're two distinct beings, and just as they are two distinct beings that are one, so are we distinct beings, but we are one. And I don't think that we often see ourselves as such. I think we are so focused, or I am so focused, I shouldn't presume that you feel the same way. I'll go about myself. I often see myself as an individual that could go and do whatever I wanted, and that may be true, but I don't often see how I am a part of a larger unit, that I am part of the hive. I'm so focused on my own thing, which I think is part of my postmodern, you know, upbringing, that we are so focused on I, and we have lost some of that focus on us. And maybe 12 months ago, maybe 2 years ago now, I spoke of a sermon here where I spoke about the Lord's Prayer. And it says in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And so often when I've prayed that in the past, I thought, when I pray that, I think, give me my daily bread and forgive me my trespasses. And if Jesus had meant that, he would have said that. But instead he said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. And so there's this real key focus on us. And so similarly, the believers, we are distinct, but we are to be one in purpose, in love, and in action. Speaking of us, may they also be in us. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is a purpose-driven prayer. This union language probably alluding similarly to the vine and the branches. That I think, Jeremy, you did vine and branches, yeah? Where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and no one comes to the Father through him, and if we are separate from the vine, then we will die and we will not produce fruit. And there's this real union language that's going on throughout all of this. This display of unity is so compelling that it would be, Jesus is praying that this display of unity would be so compelling that people would see the unity and they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of Man. I have given them the glory that you gave me. And in this instance, a commentary I read said that this word glory could mean when someone shows glory of this type, it's showing the character of God. So I have given them the glory, the character of God that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, we just watched a video about how one Christ is, and it's beyond my comprehension, but it's pretty one. I in them and you in me. Oh, man, there's my brain going. So that they may be brought to complete unity. This is the implication that there's some unity, but that they would be brought to complete unity. Sharing richly in both unity of purpose and the wealth of love that tie the Father and the Son together. That's what we're trying to have here. A really cool thing about verse 23 is it actually shows that we've been caught up in the love of the Father for the Son. How cool is this? Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. In Jesus' prayer, he points out how we are caught up in the love of the Father for the Son. That's compelling. Father, I want those. Now, I'll just pause there and say that this is a English translation of a Greek text, and the Father I want realistically could have been I will, but that doesn't grammatically make as much sense. But we are reading Jesus' will here. Father, I will, not will as in after death, but the will of Jesus. I want that those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, his everlasting splendor. The glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And Jesus actually references that he was loved by God and he was with God before the creation of the world. He references that earlier in what Nicole was reading when he prays for himself and his glory. And this is like the wrap-up of the whole prayer. It's like the last kind of prayer thing that we hear Jesus kind of saying before the arrest. And righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Now, that part in verse 26 where it says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. We could look at this in two ways. It could be in them as individuals inside us, within us, making us more loving characters in our communities. We could also read it as in them, meaning amongst them. And that would be both probably reasonable to suggest. Amongst us as we live in community together, as we display love for one another. A crucial point of this prayer, I read a commentary say, this is interesting. The crucial point is that the prayer does not simply make the followers just the object of God's love, as it says in 23. Where are we in 23. It says here, loved them even as you loved me. So that's us. We're the object of the Father's love, which is awesome. It also goes down here that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is suggesting that we would be transformed, that there's a transformation going on. The crucial point is that the prayer does not simply make the followers just the object of God's love, but promises that we will be transformed as God is continually made known to us. So the prayer, as you read it in one go, your brain kind of is trying to comprehend what is going on. All of this, righteous Father, I know you, they know you, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them, but the Father's in Jesus and then Jesus is in us. And then there's a whole lot of trying to comprehend what this means. The sentences make sense, but we're clearly at the limits of language, aren't we? The language is trying to describe a being that we just don't have categories for. And that we are in, and simultaneously, we don't have categories for this being that the language is trying to describe, and we are invited into this. You can simultaneously make sense of it, and ultimately, you cannot. And it's beautiful. I attempted to use the same symbols that were used in the Bible Project video, and I'm going to try and land the plane with this. I've got here, there's the Father, we've got the Son here, we've got the Spirit. That was kind of an interesting drawing, wasn't it? Some sort of sea creature. But the Father is in the Son, and the Son's going to send an advocate. He tells his disciples that I'm going to go and I'm going to send the advocate on behalf. The Spirit, I mean, if we go back to page one with Genesis 1, we know that the Spirit was hovering over the waters. We know that the Father and the Spirit are one, and the Son and the Father are one, and the Spirit is, it's all very confusing. And then all of a sudden we've got this thing here, which is us. And I chose to draw a love heart for us, because I needed another symbol, but it kind of made sense in that the love aspect would be we are given this love by God. We are the object of the Father's love and we are transformed by it as the Son makes the Father continually known to us. So in some weird way, we are being invited into the Trinity. Anyone else having a little mind-blown moment like me? Then I just went to town. In that the Son is with the Father, and the Father and the Spirit, and the Son and the Spirit, and then there's us, and we're in there too. And so what am I getting at here? My hope and prayer, as we look at that prayer from Jesus, is that we would understand that it is intentional that we would not only be in unity with each other, but in an ultimate unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't quite comprehend how that all fits together, but it's clear from Jesus' prayer that we are being invited into being one with Him and with the Father and with the Spirit, and it makes sense in that the Spirit lives in us. But we are trying to comprehend something that really is, we're on a 2D plane trying to understand a 3D object. And it's hard to comprehend. And this requires a response. Just like me with the leopard, this requires a response. That we would hear Jesus' prayer, and you can see that He sees us as an us, not just as an I. That we are to live in unity. We are the church, and I can more easily apply the Bible to myself or to the church at large, but it becomes harder when I look at it from a local church perspective. It becomes more personal. So when you see those words right at the beginning of this that says here, on this beautiful thing that Jasmine put together, the church is, when you finish that sentence in your mind, you may have come up with a lot of different words. But if we change that church word to be specifically Maitland Baptist Church, can we change that and can we say the church is united? Can we say Maitland Baptist Church is an us? Now, if you're looking for, I don't know what the response is for you on this. If you're looking for something to feel more like you are in us, and we are an us, and I think that we're broken, but we are being perfected in our union. I encourage you, I mentioned the Lord's Prayer before. I think there are a lot of things that we can do specifically for the purpose of just doing it together. A lot of the stuff we can do on our own, but there are things that we can do together. And I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn with this, but something that we mentioned at a recent meeting was that we're going to do Philippians next. I'm really excited about doing Philippians next. One of the things that doesn't happen as much anymore is actually reading entire letters. It's kind of like imagining a community of people who are into Star Wars and they get together and they like quote Star Wars. They might even watch a scene of Star Wars, but they've never actually watched the entire films from start to finish, or even only one film from start to finish. That's kind of what we do in our churches. You know, we get together and we quote little bits, but we don't actually do a whole thing from start to finish. But Paul, when he wrote these letters, intended that they would be read in their entirety to the community of believers, and we don't do that. I don't know if I've ever read a letter from start to finish. So one thing that I think we're going to do, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but an encouragement to our Connect groups to read Philippians from start to finish. That'd be pretty cool, hey? For the sole purpose, not that there would be some sort of sermon afterwards or some exposition, but just to read it. I mean, Paul was writing it to be read. That we would read it and that we would be united in that. One thing that came out of that Lord's Prayer thing with the us was a recognition that Jesus was calling on his believers to pray that daily. And there's some kind of suggestion that 3 o'clock's a great time. And if you want to feel a great sense of community, of unity with us at Maitland Baptist Church, at 3 o'clock, set an alarm. Say the Lord's Prayer. You'll be saying it with me, wherever I am. I'll probably be on bus duty. You'll be saying it with Aaron. He'll be sitting in the booth before he does his drive show. How's about that? That gives me shivers. Yeah? That we could be doing that together. Because we are a one. We are the church, we are an us. Yeah, let's pray. Oh Jesus, your prayer is beautiful and complex, and the language is, you are describing something that is impossible to comprehend in full, where we are now. But Father, we trust you. Father, we want to be an us. In a culture of eyes, we want to be an us. We recognize that that's countercultural. But it brings power. And as Chris said earlier, where two or more are gathered, it brings power. It brings the Father. So help us to be an us, as your prayer says, that we would be completed in that unity. We are going to move into communion now. Another moment of us, hey? That we would eat the bread and we would remember Christ's sacrifice, his flesh, his body that was broken. And as we drink of the cup, that we would remember his blood that was spilled. So I encourage you to do that with us this morning in unity.
We're going to hear from the leadership team now before we close the service. We've changed it a little bit today to our normal service based on some feedback from people in the church. And so we're going to just ask Scotty and Jeremy to come and join me here at the front. And we've just got some things that we're going to talk to you about as part of our family service that we normally do. A little bit different, but the same. So, Jez, you need to come down here, mate. Must have loved you playing in the background there. So that is the end of our series, The Church Is. But how we respond is important. What we do with the message is important, isn't it? And thank you, Cam, for that challenge. So as part of the ministry leadership, and we're missing some of our leaders here at the church, they're currently somewhere up the top end, heading towards the top end of WA on the Gibb River. They travelled on that side of that yesterday. So I hope they're enjoying the corrugations. But we are here, and we've been praying and thinking about what we want to share with you, and there's many things, and we're trying to limit that, and I'll talk a little bit about that first. And the first thing I want to share with you is, as a leadership, before Dave and Punchy left us, we spoke about the idea of how do we gather information from the body of our church back into the leadership, but also how do we as the leaders test stuff that we want to bring to the body. And so we talked a bit about that, and we had a conversation around what we called a ministry leaders meeting. And that we had one of those recently where we invited ministry leaders. So i.e. if you are a ministry leader in Kids Church, and if I forget anyone, this is just an overview, Kids Church or Connect Group or Sound Desk, Whoosh, I don't know, you name it. We thought about you guys, and we're going to have a regular meeting at least once a term, and the feedback actually from the group that met with us said, can we meet more than once a term? And we are prayerfully thinking about that. And the idea of that is twofold, as I said. The idea is for us as the leadership to share with you some of our things that we feel that God is saying to us. And we want to share it with the body, and i.e. the ministry leaders, and get you as part of that to feed back into us your thoughts and prayers on those issues. But also, if there's things that are going on in the church that we may not be aware of, i.e. in your ministry area, then you will get the opportunity to talk to other members of the body, not just the leadership, but your brothers and sisters in Christ, and share what's going on in your ministry. So it's not about you being alone or just us and the leadership, but it creates a sense of unity and partnership and oneness as we together go forward. Now, we will be talking a little bit more about this as we go, as we try and think about ways to get more information out there, but more information back. I'm excited by that because I was really excited, and I think the other guys would agree, that when we met with the ministry leaders last time, we were just here in a circle on a Sunday afternoon. It was a great sense of purpose. It was a great sense of unity. There was a sense of encouragement and a sense of we belong here and we want to go in this journey together. So I'd ask that you, if you're a ministry leader, I will be sending an email out shortly just to you, and hopefully I don't miss anybody because that's always the danger in this. So if you feel that if you haven't heard from me in a couple of weeks, come and tap one of us on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, I didn't get the email. Can you include me in? Because we want to be inclusive. We want to make sure we get everybody. And we're really excited, the leadership are excited about what can come out of that. And there's things that are going on all the time. So, are you boys going to think you want to say about that? Not about that? Okay, who wants to go next? I'll give it to you, Jess.
Thanks. Hello, everybody. So good to see you all. I have just been really encouraged by this church. And I just want to express just how thankful that I am being a part of this amazing church, which is filled with so many amazing people with hearts sold out for Jesus and just passion to share his love and get to know him more. And I'm really inspired by a lot of people in this room. And I want to just encourage and remind us all that, yes, we've got a few of us here in the leadership team, which, you know, sometimes his job is easy, sometimes it isn't. But all in all, we know and recognize Jesus as the head of this church. And we just want to do our best that we can to follow him as individuals, as well as all of us as the church community. And so that is really our heart and our desire as we, we just move forward in doing the things that we believe God has called us to do. So just right now, I want to share just a little bit about our culture and about what we as the leadership team of Maitland Baptist Church would like to press on with and to encourage you guys as our church family to actually be a part of. So there's five different things. I'm going to see if I can remember those five things. The first thing is one thing that we've already covered and that Scotty and Chris and Jody talked about before, which is prayer. We cannot move forward in what God wants us to do without prayer. And so if you are not praying on a regular basis, then I really encourage you to do that. Not only for, you know, your own life, but also for others in the church, also others in our community, just for God to do his thing as he leads us. The second thing I want to encourage you guys to do as members of Maitland Baptist Church is to spend time with God and spend time in the Word yourself. So prayer and the Word. Because we want to be a church that, you know, we're not led by things of our own thinking, our own ideas, but we're actually led by what is written in God's holy scriptures, his inspired word, which we believe is 100% true and 100% all we need in our lives to build our faiths and our lives upon. So prayer, reading the word regularly. Thirdly, really want to encourage you guys to meet with other Christians apart and away from this Sunday service. As amazing as it is to have everyone here in unity, we want to encourage you guys to be a part of a connect group or a part of a group of people or even just two or three people on a weekly or fortnightly basis actually reading the scriptures, because we are actually called to live our Christian faith and life together, not just as single people and as individuals. And we have some amazing connect groups that I've been, you know, visiting a few different ones over this past few months. And I'm really inspired by just the amazing conversation, the growth that's happening, the prayer. We have a boys group that meets at my place on a Monday nights where if I don't stop the boys to pray sometimes till the sun would go up in the morning. It's just amazing how, people have just been able to take up the mantle of just praying for one another and being just faithful in reading the word. So I highly encourage you guys, if you're not a part of a connect groups, please speak to one of us leaders, and we'd love to get you a part of a group who meet regularly to actually go through the word and pray together and encourage one another. Just be real with one another as well. The fourth thing, and I briefly mentioned it, is to keep on rocking up to our Sunday services, because like we've actually discussed over the last couple of weeks, we've all got gifts, we've all got things that God's put in our lives and hearts, and we cannot do this church and the mission that God has called us to do without you. You know, each person in this room and those who are not here this morning as well are each a valuable part of our ministry and our church and our body. And we've actually said before, I think it was last week, we were talking about how when you don't actually come as a member of this church, you know, the rest of the body suffers. It's not just about, you know, us as individuals, but it's about so much more and about so much greater things in God's kingdom that we can do when we're together. So I've talked about prayer, talked about reading the Bible, talked about connect groups meeting. I've talked about coming to our Sunday services. And the final thing that we really encourage you guys to be a part of is serving, whether that be serving within this church or serving outside of this church in a larger context. We've got a lot of amazing opportunities where we can serve in this church, lots of ministries. Some of those include the kids ministry, our youth ministry, We've got a great thriving youth ministry here, young adult ministry, obviously the band and the tech that we see at the front, but there's a lot of things which happen behind the scenes which people aren't aware of. The morning tea, super thankful for those guys. We also need more people at the moment, and it's a capacity which we're opening up for people to serve in setting up here on a Sunday morning and even Sunday night a little bit earlier. At the moment, you know, us as a leadership team, we're carrying a lot of the weight in, you know, setting up chairs, things like that. But really encourage you guys to come along earlier on a Sunday morning just to pray or to even just serve with us. There'll also be lots of different ways we can serve in the community and outreach, which I won't talk about right now. But really encourage everybody, if you call yourself a member of Maitland Baptist Church, please actually consider serving within our ministries and outside of those ministries as well. Everybody's got their own limitations based on, you know, where, you know, what their season of life is and what's going on. However, I believe that God calls us not only to be faithful in learning his word and growing his word, knowing his love, but also sharing his love to one another, sharing his love to people in these walls as well as outside of these walls as we, you know, communicate the message and the hope of Jesus Christ in all that we do. So those are the five things I just wanted to leave with you guys as we continue to build our culture towards not what we envision, but towards what we believe, what the Bible envisions, or what Jesus envisions as he leads us. So thanks.
Thanks, Jez. I just want to add to that and say genuinely, in the deepest part of our hearts and in conviction with the word, we genuinely feel as though each one of you that is a member of our church, that comes to our church, has something invaluable, beautiful to contribute to this church. Something that no one else can contribute. God has gifted each of us to serve his people and to serve the broader community. And so I want to put a challenge out, in unison with these guys, is that, you know, what are you doing with those gifts? We are poorer if you are not serving. We need you. We are sinful, broken people that cannot do it all by ourselves, and we don't want to because that is not God's picture, and we miss out. We really miss out when you guys aren't serving. The whole church misses out because you have something unique and valuable and beautiful to contribute to this. So, you know, after this series, we really feel that, you know, we want to be moving together in unison as an us. And so, you know, in order to do that, you've got to come on board. And we've got to come on board. There's a mutual submission in this. We're hoping to start establishing things that will help in pursuing this. We would like to start establishing ministry pathways or opportunities for you guys to serve. We don't believe we're doing our job faithfully as shepherds if we're not shepherding you or helping you in your pursuit of your giftedness and providing opportunities for you to serve within that giftedness. So that is something that we're looking at. So we don't just want to put up a sign-up sheet out the back, but we want to get to know you and your heart and your desires and then try and facilitate opportunities for you to serve. We're very much looking forward to our preaching series in Philippians. Part of what we hope to do with that, to foster a deeper unity, is have all of the Connect groups studying Philippians together simultaneously. Not that there aren't amazing biblical studies out there that you guys aren't already doing. Like, if you're in the Word, we celebrate that. But in order to be a unified group, it's important that we journey together in the Word together, right? And you know, those of us who preach, we're not going to hit everything in the particular verses because we can't, and it's a two-edged sword and it's deep. So you guys can talk about that in your Connect groups, grow more, and then come together on a Sunday and then talk about it more. You know, that's a beautiful part of the body. One thing to flag with you guys, we do have our church series on Philippians coming. And in the middle of next term, we're going to have our church camp, which we're very, very, very excited about. September 10th to 12th. So we would actually invite all of you guys to come, whether you can be for there for the entire time or just for a little bit. We're actually going to continue our series in Philippians at the camp, right? So we are going to have a speaker preaching the word out in the open in beautiful nature, and we would invite you guys to come. We're thinking that because the vast majority of our church, Unified Church, will be at the campsite, that we might not hold a church service on that particular day, but our church service will be there. So we will be holding one, just maybe not here. So, but we want to hear your feedback on that. If you guys have any concerns with that, then please let them be known. But we just feel it's much more loving to those who are rostered on, that they don't have to leave halfway through and then travel back. And it's really difficult. So we want to be loving each other in that. And we will try and stream it still from the campsite. So those who can't join will be able to watch it online. So I think that's everything.
This isn't related super much to what we're talking about. However, I've got a gift for you guys, if you would like to accept it. Some of you guys would know that I've recently recorded a Christian worship album, and that was something that a lot of people in this church encouraged me to do with songs that we've been playing and worshiping to within this church, and said, yeah, that would really bless me. And so, I've put in a lot of time, money and effort. Myself and Jasmine, Olivia Rugrock, Chris Burgess and some others are on that record. And we've actually got some CDs of that up at the back here. I don't encourage you guys to buy that. I want you to just take one if you believe that you can listen to a CD. I know some people don't listen to CDs whatsoever. But if that would bless you, you can take one. If you wish to as well, there's a box you can donate just if you want to support the covering the cost of that. But that's just a gift to you guys. And I just encourage you to... if that's one way that you can connect with Jesus, then use that to just help your relationship with him as well. So that's free to get at the back of the room.
So that's our feedback to you guys today. We've tried to keep it short, sweet and simple. There's just a couple of things. Obviously, we are still praying for Scott and Ruth and family as they journey in terms of returning to the Philippines at some stage. We are blessed to have them, of course. And we love having you guys, of course. But we also want to send you at the same time. It's sort of a two-edged sword, isn't it? But we'll be praying in that space, and we ask that you just keep them in prayers and the Philippines, what's going on back there, because there are challenges happening back in the Philippines. And obviously, if they could get back, they'd be in house lockdown right now. So they're a blessing for us to have, and we'll be praying for you guys in that space through God's leading as you prepare and continue your language and look to return to the Philippines. We're going to share in some food. Isn't food always good to come around, hey? And I love going to connect groups, and I think I can always suss out when a connect group's having a meal. I had a couple this week, thank you, and I've enjoyed that, and the soups and meats and bits and pieces. So we're going to close with a worship song now, and I think it's called The Blessing. Okay, we've got two. Caught me off guard. So, but let me just say grace for our food. So as soon as we've finished the service, we can go straight into joining a meal together. And I want you really to meet people that you haven't seen before. Go up and say good day. Encourage each other and remember us. Lord, we pray as we come today, as we thank you that we are gathered here. We pray, Lord, as we had a chance to open up your word and hear the truths, Lord, from your mouth, that you love us and you care for us, and we are part of you and you are part of us. Lord, I pray as we enjoy a meal together at the end of the service, Lord, that your spirit will continue to be among us, direct conversation. May we enjoy the meal. We are thankful for people's hearts who have the ability to cook and serve and love us, Lord. And we thank you for them and the work and the time that they put in and the sacrifice and the giving of time and costs to prepare for this meal. And I pray that we'll enjoy the meal, Lord. May it be a blessing to us, bless the food, bless conversation, Lord. And we hand the service back to you. Amen. Thank you, worship team.
Thank you to everyone who shared this morning. I'm just reflecting on what a gift presence is, that when we walk into the room, the Holy Spirit walks into the room because he is with us. You being present here is a gift, and we get to celebrate the gift of having God's presence with us. So why don't you stand with me this morning as we sing about this God that is so transcendent above our imagination, and yet he is here. He chooses to be here with us.